It's here. Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry. Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
Hello, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier flagship and international podcast of LRM Online and the Genreverse Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Jones, and on this week's podcast, the lads are taking a much-deserved Thanksgiving break. That said, we've still got some great content lined up for you guys. We've got Jeff Rousseau and Paul Doucette, who are the composing duo behind the Apple TV Plus hit series For All Mankind, which is coming back for season 4, so looking forward to see that. So sit back, relax, listen, or watch, however you're consuming this podcast, and I'll be back with you after the break.
It's happening. Just, it doesn't matter. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, that's the way, man. Take charge. We're just doing it.
I'm actually kind of surprised. So it's Friday evening for you all, right? About 17:30?
Afternoon. 17:30. Okay. Where are you?
I am in South Korea.
You're in South Korea. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Do I look like I'm sleeping?
No, but that's why you're referring to time and 24-hour time and what day it is and all this other stuff.
Yes. 24-hour time because I'm in the military and I'm a weird kid. When I was a kid, I always did that, which is strange. Oh, but at least I paid it forward, right? At least I joined the military, so it wasn't later.
Were your parents in the military?
No.
So that's just something you just picked up on your own.
Just a weird kid.
That might have actually been an indicator as to what your job was going to be later.
That maybe.
Yeah.
Man, I'm very jealous of your studio. I'm looking back. You've got keyboards. This is awesome. Awesome.
You guys got it made. We're in his studio. We're not in mine. Mine would be much.
Well, so first off, let me introduce myself. My name is Brandon Jones. I'm from LRM Online / the Genreverse Podcast Network. I'm very excited to be talking to both of you, Jeff Rousseau and Paul Doucette. See, I know exactly who you are. Growing up, Matchbox 20, super fun band to listen to growing up. And Paul Rousseau, you get to work on just the nerdiest stuff that gets my blood pumping, right? So things like Altered Carbon and Star Trek, pick one, right? So Discovery, Picard, Strange New Worlds, Umbrella Academy, Legion. So
I don't think we have enough time in the day to list his whole every show on television. That's gonna be,
man, just if it's a nerd thing, it sounds like you've touched it. And so for me, it's very exciting to talk to you, especially to talk to you both about For All Mankind, which I know you all probably get tired of hearing this. It's one of these shows where if someone hasn't seen it, someone that has seen it is like, why aren't you watching the show, right? It is the reason why you own an Apple TV. So it's a very exciting show to be talking to you all about. I guess the first question I wanted to ask you all was, Paul, this is a question for you. So to the best of my knowledge, you came in on season 3. Is that right?
I came in on season 2, writing some additional stuff on season 2.
Okay.
Season 3, I kind of got elevated.
Okay. Elevated. What is it like coming into a project? Because season 1 is established. There's a sound. There's music going on. You come into this, for lack of a term, well-oiled machine. Jeff, you probably see it differently. What was that like?
Well, the good thing about this show is this show's constantly growing. You know, I mean, it's inherent in the concept of the show that it is going to keep expanding. And so there's a language to the show that was established, but it's also a language that's evolving. So there was definitely enough room for me to find footing, but there was a great starting place for me to jump off of, which was kind of already established.
And, you know, one of the things, one of the hallmarks of the show is that in each in each season, we've changed time periods. And even though we're not actually, we're not really making note of taking too much note of that in the sound of the score, meaning like we started in the 60s and then ended in the 70s, and then we went to the 90s, and now we're going even farther into the future. It is more like the tonality of the show is shifting, the sound of it is not. And as that sort of grows, it's very easy, and it was very easy to look at how to manifest that in the sound of the score, and how Paul's input into that, you know, starting in the middle of season two and then working its way into season three and now into season four, is really indicative of those kinds of changes. They're subtle and yet very apparent.
And so how would you describe season one versus two versus three? Basically, are there overarching themes that you all have envisioned for how you think the show should sound based on what the story is for an individual season? How does that process work?
You know, there's a piece that starts every season. It's the first, there's every episode, every season one episode starts with this piano piece. And that melody sort of has like a almost Copland-esque kind of feel to it. But because it's an alt history show, it turns in on itself and sort of then kind of that's kind of the basis for when I came into this, I was like, well, that's kind of the basis of this whole thing. Like every piece seems to somewhat be connected to that kind of beginning piano piece, which then just it gives you enough room to sort of keep going various places, but there's always that home base that you can kind of keep coming back to in every single season.
That to me is also all tied to us really wanting to be connected to all these characters. Like one of the things that does through line through each, you know, through the entire series is the connection of the characters to one another and how they are with one another. And this is, I would say, yes, it's an alt history show. People refer to this as a sci-fi show, but I don't look at it like that. I look at it like it's really an emotional drama.
Yeah.
Right. And because it's an emotional drama, what we can do is we can really play to that. We don't have to play to the, wow, we're in space or going to Mars or going to the moon. You know, we don't have to play to that because that's, you know, that's there on screen. We don't need to play to that. We really need to play to and do play to the intricacies of the relationships between characters.
Yeah. And then also building on the tension of the situations that they get in. I mean, one thing that I think that we both kind of feel is that the way that the guys really put the show together is they really up the tension as each season goes on, as each season plays out. Like you just feel the tension even without the music. You're just like, well,
right. We
have to ride up to that level that they've established.
Yeah. What I love about the show is there are, there is a lot of tension and drama, and the music absolutely adds to this because there are musical cues that happen as things are moving slowly in space. And so there's an aspect of, for me, terror or horror as I watch the show as things slowly careen towards the cast or things very slowly happen because it's space, right? And the physics are very realistic. And so it's hard being in those moments where you can see a thing happen and the cast is reacting to this thing is happening very slowly. And I love it for that. It's very fantastic. What are some of the challenges that you all had? So Jeff, I know you worked on a library for the Star Trek stuff, themes and motifs and things of that nature. Here for All Mankind, you all are making things up whole cloth. What were some of the challenges that you faced in doing that?
You know, actually, we do currently like try to figure out what thematic elements are going to be before a season starts. It's sort of an important part of getting ready to do any episodic television because, you know, especially especially when the episodic television actually tells a story throughout an entire season, where the where episode one and episode 10 are connected, and there's a through line between the entire thing. You really do, and I know this is an overused saying, but we really do try to treat it like a 10-hour movie, right? We try to treat it like it's one long narrative, and in doing that, you know, before season three, there was like, you know, Paul and I would sit down and talk about like, what are these themes going to be? And they would get crafted early and then implemented score wise. And then of course, there's all kinds of other stuff that happens during the course of the production of the season, and individual pieces need to be made, pieces of jazz music for Margot to play, you know, all this intricate stuff that happens in between these thematic elements. You know, because we have some of the same characters spanning season after season, not as much anymore, but we have had that.
Spoilers.
We
actually haven't seen anything.
We haven't seen anything before. but my point is we get to implement those thematic elements, and we get to tell that story as one sort of long, one narrative. And that, so when we talk about like pre-writing library music, I'm not saying that we're doing that, but we are sort of conceiving the musical ideas for the season before we even see picture.
Yeah, like we're actually gonna start that process relatively soon for season four, of just sort of going, okay, what new, you know, thematic material can we find here? Because we know the show. That's the benefit of being on season four, is we know the show, we know the way that this story that they want to tell the story. We know the characters for the most part, the ones that are, you know, obviously I'm sure there's gonna be new ones. But you know, you have that benefit of having a language that you can build off of. So we can kind of start sort of having, you know, building up a well. Some of the stuff might not get used, but at least it gets you thinking of like, okay, what are we gonna do this season?
Sure. For the process, you said you haven't seen anything for season four yet. What kind of collaborative process do you all have with the creators? Like, how does that part work? And sorry, as a layman, I would just appreciate if you could walk me through, like, all right, we've been renewed for season four. And what is the process between you and the remainder of the creative team to bring what you're doing to fruition?
Matt and Ben, who are the creators of the show and run the show and write the show with a room full of writers, and then they sort of are the architects of the entire thing. So for every season, there has been a phone call between me and Ben, or me and Matt, or both of them, and we discuss what it is they're looking for from an overall perspective musically. And you know, so in season one, that included Ron Moore, because Ron Moore was way more involved in the day-to-day running of the show. That changed in seasons two and three, as far as I'm aware. I mean, in terms of my dialogue with production. But at the beginning of every season, a conversation is had, and that's really the extent of it. That really is, because what we don't do on this show is we don't do a proper spotting session. They send us a cut that has a temp score. A lot of that temp is music from previous seasons, or from the original library, or sometimes it's Inception, and then we bang our heads against a wall.
We cannot be beat.
But that's really the extent of it. And then there's a notes process where they review the score and give us their feelings on the score and what they want it to do, or if it's not doing that, or a little more of this, a little less of this, or this isn't really doing this, or in some cases, no, let's just use the temp that we had put in there, which was ours from the previous season, or you know what I mean? So that's really the extent of the sort of creative back and forth in this particular situation.
Okay. And Paul, you said that you, at this point, you know the show. When it comes to the characters, have you all evolved any of the things that you're doing, given what you've seen on screen? So when you all start the process, you haven't seen anything. I assume you all watch the show after it's done. How does that inform what you do next?
I actually try not to watch. I'll like check in at first just to like kind of scan through the first episode, but then like I don't do you?
No.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Hard. Like I'm by the way, I'm the same way.
You've got to watch the show you work on. It's amazing.
Well, we've watched it many times.
I mean, hundreds of times. You watch a show like with all these things that I work on and Paul works on, you know, when you're in the middle of working on something, you literally could look at a scene 500 times.
Yeah, it's playing on a loop.
Yeah.
Like during the pandemic, I was working at home and I felt really bad for my wife because it was just over and over and over again. Tracy saying something. It was just like, oh my God, over and over and over again. Yeah, I mean, I think the things definitely evolve. I mean, you know, the characters evolve. I mean, I think Ed is a great example of that. I mean, Ed's character arc from season one, which I did watch, to season three is pretty remarkable. I mean, he's like a much kinder, more sort of gentle character, a much more caring character than he was at the beginning of the show. Not that he was a terrible character, but he's sort of evolved into this sort of, you know, getting a second chance at being a father and just so much of that. So I do think there's a softness that sort of evolves around him that sort of happened. But all the characters have had like such a great arc. I mean, every one of them. I mean, you know, Gordo in season two.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know. But like all of them is so great. So the score definitely, I think it goes back to what Jeff was saying before. I mean, we have sort of always, and you know, what was established in season one is sort of the approach is like, it is really about playing the emotion, playing these characters and playing, it's not a typical action show score. It's a much more sort of playing at the heart kind of score. So, I mean, I think that's sort of allows for growth as the characters grow.
Sure. At this point, do you all have what feels like how would you describe the overall theme for the show?
How would you describe the overall
theme? Do you mean musically or do you mean
yes.
in general?
Musically, yes. Or have you even thought about it?
Honestly, I mean, there's a modern classical element, like sort of influence, I think, that's pretty strong in the music. It's sort of like that hopeful, sad sort of combo, you know, Lydian mode to get geeky.
I don't know what that means.
Just, you know, you know, being able to like, you know, a lot of the show, from a musical geek standpoint, a lot of the show does seem to be written in like B flat minor, F sharp, Lydian, that kind of stuff. And so it's sort of, you know, it gives you the ability to play with notes that are almost there.
Yeah.
But they're not quite hitting it yet. So it inherently gives you hope, but it inherently also has a sort of sadness to it. You can kind of, depending on the scene, you can kind of make that work in both ways, which is kind of nice. So that to me is what the overall approach to the show has been.
But it's interesting because the show itself, now that we're going into season four, there's no more having to get used to this alternate reality, right? That really happened in season one,
right,
where the Russians beat us to the moon, and that sets off events that lead to where we are right now. There's no more need for us to lead that charge. What we really now need to do, aside from all that musical jargon that Paul was talking about, is to follow the drama as though it's the real thing. Like, here we are, this is life, this is the thing, and we have to sort of track this emotional journey that these characters are on. Now, it's interesting that we talk about hope, because now that we do not have to tell the story of this is an alternate reality, this is now the reality.
This is just our reality.
The hope now is, well, how in the back of my mind anyway, it's like, how do we get back? How do we get back to back on track? That's the whole idea of the show to me, is that something went off track and then set the entire timeline in a different direction. And is it ever going to be possible to move that line back? That's the hope and the melancholy to me. And that's how, to me, the music can sort of push and pull. It's like, there's this hope, but there's this melancholy. The hope is maybe we can get back there. The melancholy is, boy, did we fuck up.
Yeah, totally. And then the overall thing of the characters. I mean, because there is a melancholy to it. I mean, you have you have relationships that never get fulfilled with Margot and
Sergey.
Sergey. God, I can remember his name. You have, obviously we've lost pivotal characters. And then you have these great sort of like lovely family moments, and tough family moments as well. So you get, there is a gamut to run in this show. It kind of covers kind of everything.
Yeah. Really about it. And speaking of what you just said, there's a particular song that I love, and I think it's from season 3, and I think it's called Margot and Sergey. It is the piano piece. Sorry?
The piano.
Yes. It's absolutely heartbreaking in a way, and there's a yearning that's filled there. And what I love about Margot in particular, she's such a unique character. And yeah. So it is what does love look like through the eyes of a character like that? And this piece nails that. And what I also think that you all are very good at is, so when I was asking about the overall theme, there is just this human endeavor feeling, right? This consistent march. There are march aspects to some of the music that you all do, and that opens up to hope for me. And so I really think that you guys do a really good job of bringing that forward. I could talk to you all forever. I don't want to keep you forever. I do have a couple more questions. These are just nerd questions for me, if you would indulge me for a bit. Both of you are in bands. So do you all, when you're not working, do you all jam together, and who plays what?
No, what's funny is we have recently talked about doing like some sort of like weekly, monthly sort of jam thing. We don't actually.
Wow.
We should.
I'm shocked.
I've never been very good at jamming.
Yeah. I like playing songs.
I like playing songs.
Playing songs is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, have we ever played music together?
Yes.
And I think that might be the question that you're asking. And that, yeah. So as Paul said, the answer to that question is yes. Like, we have sat down and played guitar together and or played music together, and obviously we've created together.
We've also been sounding boards for each other. Like Jeff, yeah. And I have a relationship that goes many years back, so we've been outside of doing film and TV work, we've been sounding boards for each other's work for many years.
Yeah. So there's certainly been a musical and obviously personal friendship that has gone on for a really long time, but we have shared fun musical times as well as work. It's not all of that, but jamming, I think the answer is no.
We have talked about doing,
yes, some, maybe we will. So the, yes, next time we talk, we'll, yeah, be like, yeah, we've jammed now. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. And so for season 4, without necessarily giving anything away, what are your hopes? What are you looking forward to for season 4?
I mean, the hope is to get through season 4.
Yeah.
That's always the hope. I mean, to be completely honest with you, neither one of us has seen a frame of picture. So we have zero clue as to what to expect from what's happening with the characters. Now, I have had, cursory conversations with Ben about it. But he didn't even tell me anything other than maybe we want to do a little bit of more of that thing we did in season 3, or maybe we want to do a little bit less of that. Wasn't really specific. And until we see anything, we have really no idea.
I mean, I think the one thing we can probably count on, based on the way that season 1 went into season 2 and season 2 went into season 3, it's going to get bigger.
Right.
Really?
I mean, I would think so. I mean,
I think it's bigger than Mars. What's bigger?
What's beyond? I don't know.
The universe. The universe.
The multiverse.
That's awesome. The multiverse. Which one? Yeah, I love that. The possibilities are endless.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck's your Batman?
No. Although I like Ben Affleck as Batman. I did like him as Batman.
I like him. I like him. Yeah. I didn't necessarily like what they did with him, but I did like him.
I would agree with that. I wish it was better. There was a better shot. But...
So getting slightly off track, I think that warehouse fight scene in Batman v Superman is probably one of the best Batman fight scenes, or even probably one of the best comic book fight scenes, period. And I kind of wish they had carried that energy throughout for him, certainly.
Like that.
Yeah.
Something that big.
Yeah. I can't imagine. You're going to score one day? Are we going to have you all working on a DC or Marvel project?
Jeff?
Like a movie?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, sure. If they ask, there's no reason to not. But
I mean, what a challenge that would be.
Yeah. Huge.
That would be. And, you know, we do love a challenge.
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear about it. So thank you both, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. It's been a blast.
Good seeing you.
Same. Y'all take care. Have a good weekend. And I think we can leave it there. So if you like what you heard or watched, do all the socials. Like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We would definitely appreciate it. Also, LRM Online and the Genreverse Podcast Network have other great content where else but on their websites as well as YouTube for you to check out and consume. Jump on the Discord. Let us know what you're thankful for. This holiday season, I am genuinely grateful for the lads. Not only are they great to hang out with, I get to hang out with you all as well. As Jammer would say, Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, is a panacea during rough times. And so as things have gotten rougher in time, it has definitely been a joy to sit here and spend time with you all. But like I said, jump on Discord. Let me know what you guys are grateful for. I'd love to take a look. All right. Hasta lasagna. Don't get any on you. And we'll see you on the next one.
Redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.